gathering of the Juggalos. Our Shangri-La. For one weekend a year, we can let go. Live among our own. Get duck proper.
Can't keep wilding out like we're kids, Silas. That's what got me locked up in the first place.
What about your Juggalo fam? Scotty D, Jimmy Soda, Mankini? Butthole Ben. You want to disappoint Butthole Ben?
Joining me on Moving Radio today are two guests, one of which has been on the show a couple of times, and the other of which is a first-timer. It's Tim Cairo, writer and producer, and Nathan Tape, writer and director of the brand new film Off Ramp. This is pretty big. The Calgary Underground Film Festival actually has the Canadian premiere, which I'm sure breaks all of Tim's family's heart and friends in Edmonton that they have to travel to Calgary to see the Canadian premiere, but that's okay. They're going to be okay. And the film Off Ramp is going to be screening on Monday, April 22nd at 9:45 at the Globe Cinema in Calgary as part of, as I said before, the Calgary Underground Film Festival. And here's the bonus. Tim and Nathan are on our show today, but they are going to be live and in person at that screening on Monday, April 22nd for a Q&A after the screening. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's always nice to have returning guests and new guests. I was just saying before we kind of started recording here to Nathan, and then after when I finally remembered to let Tim join the conversation, that Off Ramp is something that I didn't think I would see. And the reason why is because the backdrop for this film is a very notorious group, Insane Clown Posse. And I'm not hating on them. I'm just like, they're not my thing necessarily. And of course, you hear a lot of hype around that. But I'm here to tell you, people, I've seen the film Off Ramp, and there is much, much more to this than you initially thought and probably than I initially thought. So before we get into the background of this film, I think it's important to let the audience know what they kind of need to prepare for. And not because this is bad in any way, right? Because, look, the ICP connection and the focus on these two main characters as they go to what is basically Nirvana for Juggalos at this big, like, I'd heard of it, and obviously I've seen video of it online, but I've never experienced anything like that in my life. Let's tell audiences a little bit about what they can expect and maybe how you've subverted their expectations with this fantastic film Off Ramp. Nathan, I'll let you go first.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, if you're uninitiated into what Juggalos are, our film is about two Juggalos on their way to the gathering of the Juggalos. And as Christian said, yeah, they are fans of the Insane Clown Posse, but it's a little bit more than that. It's more of a familial situation. It's a lot of people who feel like they don't have a home, outsiders, if you will. And that's kind of, they're all going to the Gathering of the Juggalos in one year. And that is, like you said, it's like their Mecca. They call it their Shangri-La, and we use that in the film. So I think, you know, if you aren't familiar with Juggalos, our film will help introduce you to a lot of the concepts. If you are familiar with the Juggalos, I think come and see a story about two of them. Yeah, I think the other thing is, you know, like you said, be prepared for the unexpected. One of the most consistent things that I hear after people see this film is that they're surprised what the film is and that they didn't expect it to be what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say we welcome preconceptions in this movie. If you walk in with preconceptions, we're fairly certain you will walk out with those preconceptions changed by the end of the film. So come one, come all. Be prepared for a wild ride. Hopefully you will walk away with something more universal than just a story about Juggalos, but that is, we definitely do not shy away from, you know, being about that subculture either. So I hope that kind of preps it without giving too much away.
No, I think that's kind of perfect, but I mean, that's why I don't want to give too much away myself necessarily. But at the core of this story are two characters, Silas and Trey. And we join them on this journey as, you know, part of it is about reconnecting. Part of it is about reclaiming yourself in some ways. but it also turns hard left and literally goes quite insane. So I don't want to go into that necessarily because maybe that will spoil things, but I want to talk about this relationship between these two characters, Trey and Silas, and how the two of you came together to kind of create these two characters and the relationship and bond they have, not only with each other, but with the band ICP.
I think real quick, I'll talk about the ICP thing is that I think we mentioned ICP and they're definitely obviously what the Juggalos are about, but I think we want to make a film more about Juggalos and ICP. And so I think that, you know, our two characters obviously love the clowns and they're a big part of it, but I've definitely met Juggalos who are, you know, what's really important to them is that they're friends and their family, and they call their family. And that's what really instigated the whole thing. A quick backstory about Tim and I, we met in 2001 at the New York Film Academy. I was from New Orleans. He's from Canada. But we and our mutual friend, his friend, Costa Papa Nicholas, we all like ended up in a group together and started making films together. And soon
Costa and I were in at U of A in film studies at the time. All we did was talk about movies all day long. So we figured, okay, let's go to New York and try to make some. And that's where we met Nathan.
And they had the fortune and misfortune of introducing me to the Criterion Collection, which has then been my obsession for
tens of thousands of dollars later.
On discs. But literally, they were like, you heard the Criterion Collection? And they're like, we should go to Kim's video. Man, I miss Kim. Anyway, sorry, off topic. But I had this crazy idea. I watched this documentary called American Juggalo, and I was aware of ICP and aware of Juggalos, but I kind of saw it through this, you know, lens of like Vice documentaries and stuff like that. And American Juggalo was really the one that introduced this idea of Juggalo family love, and that, you know, if you're a Juggalo, you're accepted and loved regardless of anything. Whoever you are, if you come to this thing, you come to as a Juggalo or as a, that you're accepted. And I found something really beautiful on that. So I had this crazy idea, you know, I won't say much, but the image in the third act, the most like shocking and amazing image, you know, of the film, which you've seen, that's kind of what I had this dreamy idea about, you know. So I told Tim and I reconnected after a long time. He came to New Orleans for like a bachelor party, I think, and we like hung out and started chatting.
It was Mardi Gras, but it wasn't. I was with my friend Jeff Moisel. He was another Edmonton guy, and he was there for a legal convention. So I just tagged along because it was. I mean, if you've ever been around lawyers, you know they party like degenerates most of the time. I'm a lawyer, I can say that. So so we did that, and then after like being on a bender for 3 days, I reconnected with Nathan and started talking about this. And it was definitely the right state of mind to be discussing it in.
It's been a long time. It's been since like 2015, basically like 2015. I went out to LA and basically spent like 2 weeks with Tim, and we wrote a first draft of the script. It was good, but it was something completely different than what the movie we made. And I think, you know, kind of just circling back to something we said before the call really started, you know, when we started, our perspective was a little bit more of like making fun of the Juggalos. It was more of a mocking tone and more like that they were the butt of the joke. And as the time went on and we rewrote the script, and then I ended up meeting a lot of Juggalos and doing a lot more research, we both found that that was not really right. That it was like the treating these people like real people and showing the care for them. And, you know, it's still going to be funny. The things are funny. I mean, they have nicknames like Butthole Ben. I mean, that's just funny. You can't.
all the names in the movie are pretty much real Juggalos other than Trey and Silas, essentially, right?
Pretty much. I mean some much. We made up. But there's still like they're pretty close. I mean, there's so many real little tidbits that I heard from Juggalos that like got peppered into the film. Tim and I just, we always wanted this sort of like, you know, Laurel and Hardy kind of vibe, you know. We love a road trip movie, and Sideways with Juggalos was kind of like something we talked about at one point, you know. Spring Breakers was a really big influence, even though Spring Breakers doesn't really, it's kind of a girl buddy, but anyway, there's still like kind of that. We knew from a very start how different these characters were, you know. It was always like this kind of opposite straight man and, you know, kind of goofball kind of thing. But I think just, you know, after many years of doing it and our friendship too, Tim and I, like reconnecting and bonding over the years of constantly talking about this and like picking up little jokes from here and there from my friends and his friends, you know, we just kind of peppered it in there. But I think in the end too, one of the things that is interesting is that it's kind of like a bromance movie too, right? Like it's kind of like about friendship and how important that is to so many people, including us.
I think we spent enough time with these characters. I mean, we wrote this thing over like 7 years and spent enough time around Juggalos that it just like, it became much more human over time. And we just wanted to make sure that was represented, that these weren't just caricatures. We knew from the start that we were blending tones, that it wasn't gonna be a straight comedy. Like there was always a horror element, a gore element and all that kind of stuff. But that's just what we like to do. But the characters became much more fleshed out as time went on and became people, essentially, rather than just like comedic tropes.
Joining us today on Moving Radio, it's Tim Cairo and Nathan Tape, the writers, co-writers, and Nathan, the director, and Tim, one of the producers of the film Off Ramp. We're talking about it right now because it's going to be screening as part of the Calgary Underground Film Festival, Canadian premiere, people. This is the first time you'll be able to see it in Canada, and that's on Monday, April 22nd at 9:45 p.m., where both Tim and Nathan will be in attendance. And I think you're going to have an interesting conversation after this one, which I'm sure you've already had at a couple other festivals you've been at too. I just want to pursue a little bit more about these two characters as well. You both are planting the seeds of clearly what the story is and kind of fleshing out these characters. But let's also talk about how that is also a collaborative effort. The two actors, Scott Turner Schofield, who plays Silas, yeah, and John Oswald, who plays Trey, who do a phenomenal job in tricking me into thinking they're like, maybe they've had a foot in this world. And then when I started to look them up, I'm like, oh no, no, no. This is just a really, really couple of solid performances that fooled me. So talk just a little bit about that creation of all four of you and maybe others too, in helping to form those two characters. Cause I love that you talked about this idea of friendship, but you know, when you breathe life into them in front of the camera, that's a different thing.
You're absolutely right. Scott and John are both incredible in these roles. First, I will say that everything was in the script. I mean, you know, we spent a long time. And so like, the authenticity of it was really, a lot of it was there. I mean, it requires two amazing performers to pull it off. And let's have a little bit about that story about finding them. But just to say that, like, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of intentionality put into that. So then it does become this really interesting thing about how do you cast, how do you find, you know, you dream up these characters. And like, I always envisioned Silas is more of a round guy, like a little chubbier guy, because it was the heart, you know, the Laurel or whatever. It was like, you know, to have that visual dichotomy, but it didn't end up that way, and it doesn't matter. It's awesome. It's just like one of those things. So when we actually cast with like two, we actually had like another casting that didn't work out, and it was for the better because we ended up finding Scott and John. One of the things was that Scott was found we got to him through a casting agent here in town, locally in New Orleans, Hunter McHugh, who did the casting for our film and did a great job. We basically found Scott through some things, and he just gave this amazing audition, and it was just like, oh, this guy gets it. And then the thing was, is John, as you know, worked with Tim before, and so is a friend of Tim's. And Tim was kind of, had always sort of been like soft pitching me, John, like all throughout the process.
We need a headache.
and it was only because there was somebody else that I had kind of had in mind that it didn't end up working out with, that I kind of always like thought of Trey as. But it was like, again, it's one of those things that, you know, the way things evolve and the way they, you know, change is a lot of times we have this situation with this film. It's like everything that happened throughout the process made the film better. All the bumps, all the obstacles, even the worst ones that have happened, they usually have made it, almost all made it better. So anyway, so John, Tim ended up basically being, you know, kind of like pitching John, and finally we put him in and we auditioned him, and he's just super great. And the thing was they had to bond, because it was like, hey, here's two strangers, now be best friends, you know? it's just a real credit to how giving both of those actors are to each other, of just spending time with each other. And there's one day we had in the shoot where it was, you, as you see, there's a lot of car stuff, especially the beginning. And there's a, we had a day where we were like outside the van, you know, shooting car to car stuff with like a picture, a camera car and drone stuff and all that kind of, you know, things. And so the two of them were just in the van all day, like for like 8 to 10 hours they were just driving around. And that was like at the end of the first week of shooting. And so after that, end of that first week, they were just like homies, you know, because they spent the whole day figuring it out. Tim, talk a little bit about John and how you brought him, you know.
Yeah, so I've known John for a long time now. He's essentially part of my friend group, and you know, he was also in Low Life. He was Randy in Low Life, Swastika Face, if you will. Johnny's just like one of those annoying guys who's kind of good at everything. He used to be like a metal drummer. He was, you know, he's a phenomenal musician, and he just picks, he can draw. He's an artist. He can act. He has no like real formal training acting. He just picked it up one day and was incredible at it. So you're just like, God damn it. I'm sure he'll start writing screenplays and directing movies at some point and, you know, put us to shame. But I had spent enough time around him that I was just like, you know, if, and the other thing about Johnny is he just commits. He goes all in. So my pitch was always just like, you know, just trust me. If you put him in, you're not going to be disappointed. And, you know, sure enough, we're blown away even more so than we thought we would be. So, and then with Scott, it was just like kind of strange. Like when I watched his audition tape, I felt like he kind of had a similar vibe to John, which is weird because they'd never met. And I was just like, yo, like, it seems like these guys could have grown up together. I kind of feel like they have a similar energy to them. And then, yeah, sure enough, we put them together to read and they just fed off each other right away. So really just one of those things, I guess.
And they just continue to do it through the shoot. I mean, they just continue to build, and it is remarkable, especially when you watch it back, because they're also two very different actors, get different things out of them as a director, but equally awesome and equally, and also equally different. Johnny's very like he's very consistently similar. Scott is a little different on take to take, but like at the same time, that means that there's more peaks and valleys, and Johnny's a little more consistent. So like just in that sense, but then that also really worked well for us because the performances are so different too. I mean, Trey is kind of the straight man and Silas is the wild card. And so like having the, you know, kind of wild card be a little bit varied is it was really interesting. Every time I watch it, I'm constantly amazed at how amazing they are together.
Well, another element to the film that I thought was pretty amazing myself was the look of it. Because at first, when I read this idea and I heard of what you were doing, Tim, I thought, well, this is kind of genius. Like, it's just, it's got a baked-in audience, right? So, not to say that the film would be inferior, but I wasn't expecting it to kind of have this kind of like indie art kind of quality to it in some ways. And it's almost a juxtaposition visually in the way that it's executed, particularly in the beginning, because the subject matter that you're told that it's about completely contrasts that. And that I was really impressed with, and even just the score contrasting that. But I really want to kind of drill down on the look of the film, because I feel like from what you said at the very beginning of saying the script evolved into being, you know, less kind of, you know, satirical maybe in some ways, or at least a little bit more jovial about like, oh, it is kind of crazy, right, that we all dress up in makeup and we go to this gathering and, you know, where some of us are gonna butt chug, you know, stuff like that. that it became, even though you talked about those things, I was drawn into it and I was like, I want to be on this road trip with these guys. So talk to us about, you know, the cinematography of it and maybe what you both kind of thought about where you wanted the film to head visually, and then how you brought in your cinematographer, Bron Moy, as well, because I think they did some fantastic work with this.
Very early on in the process, Nathan pitched this to me as Terrence Malick with Juggalos. And
oh my God. This is so genius. You just nailed it. It's exactly what it is. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
He knew what he wanted, like from the first draft of the script almost. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And so then some of the other influences kind of came into play. Like Nathan mentioned Spring Breakers, some Harmony Korine stuff. And I'm sure he'll talk about some other influences. But I'll let Nate talk because he is actually a phenomenal cinematographer in his own right and has spent a lot of time on movie sets. So he's went at it with a lot of intention.
For sure. Thank you. My day job, I was a gaffer for like the last, like for like 15 years in the, in like kind of Hollywood movies and television, and was meanwhile always working as a cinematographer. And that was kind of like something that I always loved, but I always wanted to tell my own stories, but I love shooting and I'm pretty good at it. But just a little backstory too about Braun, who is incredibly talented and brought so much to it. I did a short film called Mariah, which, you know, I directed and I was a cinematographer and I edited. And I found, while I'm still happy with the film, I feel like it would have been better if I did only one or the other, because I just felt split loyalties. And I think I was too focused on the image, because it's sort of where I naturally tend to, you know, work. And I kind of didn't, you know, spend as much time with the actors as I should have on that short. So I was like, I'm not going to let that happen again. I was like, I'm going to hire a DP. And it was always going to be Braun. Braun was somebody who I first started, he was an on-set dresser. Like, you know, basically like they move like all the stuff from one side to the other. And like, I put my lights there, or the camera there, or whatever. Braun and I worked together on a number of shows and in movies, but the one we spent the most time together on was called Queen Sugar. And in that time, Braun and I got to be friends, and he expressed interest in lighting and photography. And so I taught him some things. Like when we would do stuff lighting, he would kind of ask me questions. We would talk about it. You know, I'd kind of like give him some of my input and like just kind of share with him some of the knowledge that I had about the stuff. And then Braun, basically he left being an onset dresser and went into camera and has become a cinematographer, and one incredibly talented in his own right. And I also knew that like Braun and I had the kind of relationship that there wouldn't be this sort of like, you know, butting heads, because we would be able to talk about it in a much more open way, because I taught him some things. Now I actually think Braun is a better cinematographer than I am. So that's also like, I think he got,
that helps.
It helps. You know, I think he's learned what I and gone beyond. I think he's incredibly talented. But it was still interesting, because we would, even when we were doing certain scenes, like in the bedroom scene, you know, when we were doing it, he was like, you know, he's like, how do you think I should light this? And like, we would talk about it in a way that I would give him suggestions, and then I would let it go and let him like play. And I wouldn't like kind of get in his, you know, try to get in his spaghetti or anything. But like, if he had an issue or a thing, he would ask me. And at the same time, if I was like, hey, that's a little bright, can we bring it down? Like, it wasn't like an ego thing. It was always great. And he's an incredibly gentle and human being too. But it's also like, he brought so much to it with his collaboration, just from the camera movement to the thing, like he was just constantly adding to it. And I think he's an incredible talent, but it is true. I did always want it to have this beauty, and Tim is right. We did talk about like Terrence Malick, and I was like, I always wanted to have this sort of beauty amongst the madness. I mean, I just like shit that's like looks, that's like gross but beautiful. And another massive influence on this film, I think overall, is Wild at Heart is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. Likewise.
And we're both big Lynch fans, and my dog's name is Lula, after Lula Fortune in the movie. So one of my favorite moments of Wild at Heart is like when they pull the car over, and because they're just listening to the radio and it's all this like horrible shit happening. And she's like, you find me some music on the radio this instant. And then they like hear their heavy metal song, and it fades into this beautiful score as this big giant like crane shot goes up, and there's this low sun, and it's this like horrible, gross, but beautiful thing. And I mean, I think that's just like what I wanted to do. We wanted to make something that's beautiful and gross at the same time.
Also a road trip movie.
And a road trip movie.
Well, I just want to commend you, Nathan, on not naming your dog Bobby Peru.
but one of the greatest villains ever.
It is true. It's very true. It's funny because you know, you brought up that idea of Malick, and I was like, it totally clicked with me. And then when I was watching it too, you know, Gummo kind of came to mind as well. And I don't know if that's the one you were thinking of from Harmony, Tim, but for sure that kind of made sense to me. And then I also had this feeling of like, is this like a like Deliverance-esque, but at the same time, I feel like one of those movies where it's like, oh, we turned off somewhere else and now we're in this crazy town. And then I felt like, man, this is Jean-Claude Van Damme would have kicked the shit out of everyone in this town. These guys are just like, this is madness, you know? So I loved it. And especially that hit with me is just how deftly you balanced all those things. The, like you said, the insanity of moments that happen within the film with also, you know, making moments that look like they should be crazy, be incredibly picturesque and subverting maybe what the expectations of the audience are. And I think that's the real success of this film Off-Ramp for sure, from both of you and from everyone involved. And that's why I encourage you to out and see it for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned Borman. Borman, I think Point Blank could be related to this movie somehow, a distant cousin or something.
I'm not hating on Deliverance. I like Deliverance a lot too, and there certainly is
yeah.
a kind of thing. I mean, Deliverance is one of the few movies that I remember seeing as a kid, and it like truly frightening me. You know, there's like those handful of movies that like really truly go like, oh my God. And I remember, you know, the most famous scene in that movie just being like really making you feel very, very bad. we like that too. I mean, that's one of the fun things about making films is like I we love making people feel stuff, and I think one of the things that Off-Ramp does succeed at is you do feel a lot of things. You know, you cringe, you laugh, you cry, you cheer, you may hide your face at times.
Yeah, if you can make a gross out movie that makes you actually feel emotion, I feel like you've kind of done your job, you know. and makes you laugh as well. I mean, to me, the larger the spectrum of emotion you can have an audience feel, and I think to me the better the movie is. Why only choose one?
This is what I think made it incredibly strong, and it's a small story about these two men, but at the same time there's a much larger scope to it. And I think that's when that idea of family and the situations that they get into make it even broader in scope there. So yeah, congratulations on this for sure. Look, I want people to see it, but no one in Canada's had a chance until Cuff. So
yeah, look,
I know how it goes. There is a trailer out there, right? But you almost kind of have to like turn the tap on slowly with these kinds of releases. You know what I mean? Like you can't just give everything away at once, right? So maybe let's let people know how they can possibly connect with the film in some way, whether they can make it to Calgary, can't make it to Calgary, or whether sure. unfortunately maybe they're hearing this afterwards. How can people check out more about yourselves and Off-Ramp?
Yeah, we'll have a website at offrampfilm.com. It should be up very soon, but that's singular offrampfilm.com. Also on Instagram at offrampfilm. I'm Damn Nathan on Instagram if you want to follow me. We you know put some stuff out there, and those are some of the main things that it should be available sometime soon, and we're hoping in the fall for certain small theaters.
And, should be some announcements coming soon here. It will be available, long story short.
Yes.
Very soon.
And then Tim is what, your Tim Cairo or Cairo Pictures?
I don't know. What is it? Tim underscore Cairo? I don't know.
Tim underscore Cairo.
You'll find me.
Yeah.
You'll find me if you really want to, I feel like.
But Off-Ramp Film and Instagram at Off-Ramp Film. We don't have a Twitter or whatever. I don't believe in that. Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Not since you called it X. I'm like okay. That.
Thanks, Elon.
but yeah, Off-Ramp Film or at Off-Ramp Film on Instagram.
Before we kind of leave, what's the reaction been from the people that you base this on? Right. I mean, you said you've talked to, you know, you clearly are trying to get a sense of what the community is like, and that helped really inform your script. But now that the product is finished and now sometimes people are seeing it, or maybe even, I don't know if you've talked to ICP at all, or anybody even within their organization, what's the feedback been from the people that you kind of like have made this story about?
Well, we have like a really cool nexus of juggalos who, starting with this guy, Scotty D, Scott Donahue, who's like one of the oldest, like not oldest because he's a young guy, but he's been at every gathering, and he's one of the most learned juggalos about all things psychopathic, under all the underground hip hop, as they call it, and all this whole movement of music. So Scotty D and I met through a friend, Kenneth Yu, who was like a UPM, and he had worked on another movie that had juggalos in it. And so Scotty and I met. I went to the gathering in 2021 and filmed some of the B-roll and stuff like that. And Scotty introduced me to a number of his really close Juggalo friends, some of whom are in the film and you see like at the end of the movie and have some pieces at the beginning. Our nexus of Juggalo friends all love the movie very much. Because the film isn't available and is only played at film festivals, we've had only a limited amount of Juggalos really see the film. But like, for instance, we had our world premiere in Warsaw, Poland. And I went and I said to Scotty, I was like, hey, Scotty, do you know any Polish Juggalos? And he goes, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And sure enough, we had two awesome Polish Juggalos come in, Jarek and Dasik. They came in from out of town and saw the film and they loved it. And they were like, they told me afterwards, they were like, listen, we were skeptical because this is what we love. And we thought you were just going to be making fun of us. And in the end, it was actually really cool. And like, we were the heroes. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I was trying to do. You know, after we just played in Boston at Boston Underground Film Festival, and I had, I just get like a direct message on Instagram that this girl says, hey, I'm a Juggalo and a film fan. And I just want to say, thank you for making this film, whoop, whoop. And I was like, wow, you know. And then I had another girl, just again, another Juggalo, just like hit me up on Instagram that was just like, she was like, I cried 3 times in this movie, you know, like this was like, so, you know, so I'm like, that's what we want. We hope that it gets back to all of it. I think it will eventually, because there is a lot of hype within the Juggalo community about the movie, just because of our friends who have been hyping the movie. Obviously there's like, for the last 3 years, we've been like putting it out there with hashtag Juggalo on it. So like people have been like, they are aware that it's coming. So I think we're very excited to get it to them. We want them to see it very much.
En masse. It's been a trickle here and there so far, but we really want to see the response once everyone's seen it in the community. And then we'll really know, I think, but we can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, we did it with the intention to hopefully please, you know, make them, you know, pleased. Somebody told me after the Boston, they said, you've just undone all this bad stuff that's been done to Juggalos in the media. I'm like, I don't know about that. But I mean, because obviously, too, the film isn't just about Juggalos. And I think that's something to emphasize, is that it really is about the outsider in all of us. It's really about how all of us, whether you're, you know, a film nerd, or you are obsessed with music, or you're obsessed with anything, whatever it is, whatever your niche, whatever thing that makes you feel a little
bit, just don't fit in for some other reason, you know, whatever it is,
whatever reason you don't fit in, this is a story for you. This is a story about acceptance and love, and about finding your found family, and that you don't have to put up with, you know, not being accepted. We really look forward to that. As far as ICP, basically, you know, we had to get their rights, their to use the Miracle song. And I've had a relationship with their manager, who's been very great and helpful, and like, we license the song, but ICP has such a huge fan base, and the fan base is always kind of like making art about them, right? Like there's a very, and they're very into that. They love the DIY kind of art aspect of that. But I think that they will watch it once it is a thing that people can
available.
But it's kind of like, we're like right on like kind of the outskirts of the, like of the inner circle. And so it will get into the inner circle eventually. And we hope they like it, because that was our intention, was to make something that was really to talk about the real spirit of being an outsider and being an outcast.
Which is what they've tapped into for years. And what's so great about the culture.
We tried to kind of like acknowledge some of the ways that Juggalos have been treated, because the truth is there's been a lot of mistreatment, you know. I mean, they've been classified as a gang because so people have had their children taken away from them. It is a thing that has like affected these people who just like a band and want to go to a concert and like whatever, and wear some like dress weird. Like, I mean, you know, so like we did hope to sort of shine the light on what is good about Juggalos, and sort of take the ideas of what is bad about Juggalos and sort of bury it and sort of put it to another, you know, we hope that that comes across.
Look, as an outsider, it absolutely came across, and it deconstructed every perception I had about it before. So that's why I really implore people to check out this film. Off Ramp is going to be making its Canadian premiere on Monday, April 22nd at 9:45 p.m. as part of the Calgary Underground Film Festival. And that screening, as well as all other screenings, is going to be at the Globe Cinema downtown Calgary It should be fantastic. I hope that everyone shows up, and maybe even some juggalos would be nice, right?
Yeah,
whoop whoop, bring it on. Much clown love. We'd love to see you, juggalos. If you're out there listening, come on, we'd love to have you.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what my poll is in that community, gentlemen, but I'm hoping.
You may be surprised. You never know.
I mean, that's the thing, is that the thing that's wild about Insane Clown Posse and juggalos is, like, as you talk about it, people kind of come out of the woodwork with it in their history of, you know, in their past. People are like, you know, they knew it, or they knew somebody else who was, or they had a friend. It's kind of funny as you, like, talk about it, you know, it really, there's a lot more people who are, like, associated with juggalos or have been than you kind of even think.
It's weirdly ubiquitous once you're looking for it.
I'm not even against it. I'm just like, if you are, here's my opportunity. I'm telling you, come out to me, talk to me about this. I'm okay with that. I don't know. I no longer want to be in the outside trying to judge these people in this community anymore, because I think I've been unfortunately on the wrong side of that. And this, in your film, helped me realize that. So that's amazing. And then opened me up to that documentary as well, American Juggalo 2. So check that out online if you can as well. Gentlemen, what a pleasure. I wish I was going to be in Calgary. I don't think that's going to work for my work, but I think you're still going to. I smell like something may happen in Edmonton at some point. So,
Interesting. Well, listen, if you think that's a possibility, let me know, because I would love for that to happen. Yeah, let's talk offline.
let's make the people know that they got to show this. Yeah,
that would be great.
I think so. I know your cinema love runs deep in Edmonton, and so do your cinema connections there. So let's make it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been great, man. Thank you. I want to say one quick thing just about the thing. Was that one of the best reactions I heard from a kid after a movie is he said that this movie made him want to be a nicer person. And I thought that was the greatest compliment I could ever receive. So I just, if that's any reason, if you have any bias against or whatever, come see it. And hopefully maybe it'll make you a nicer person.
That's not a sales pitch. I never heard one.
It made me a nicer person making this film. I will tell you that's a fact. So I hope to share that with other people.
I became a less nice person, but
all those night
just
calls,
just kidding.
All those calls that are like, damn, what should we do?
Look, that's the perfect way to end it, gentlemen. Thank you both.
Thanks, Christian. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. Great being here.